Christian, good morning.
Good morning, Phil.
So, looking at the situation with Obama, over the last 8 years, just how much has the United States been leading the charge on climate change with Obama's legacy?
Yeah, when Obama came into office in 2008, he really changed the tune from what the US had done under the previous president, George W. Bush. And in the previous and since that time, the US has made great strides. They've most recently, and perhaps most remarkably, he's implemented what's known as the Clean Power Plan, which essentially is aiming to cut pollution from coal-fired power plants. And coal is one of the greatest contributors to climate change. So President Obama's taken the lead domestically by trying to reduce pollution from coal. But he's also, as everyone would be aware, he's been right around the world on the international stage pushing other countries to take an interest in this issue and to move quickly. Of course, he's also pushed Australia over the last couple of years as well.
Yeah, and a big part of it has, of course, been the Paris Agreement as well. Looking at incoming President Donald Trump, if he does decide to walk away from the Paris Agreement and all of the climate change policy which has been instilled, just how damaging could that be?
Look, it threatens to be very damaging because Obama and the US has taken such a leadership role, and also because the US is such a major player in international affairs. The obvious question then, and it seems almost certain that Donald Trump will walk away from the Paris Climate Agreement, although you can never believe much of what he says, but should he do so, the question is who will step up? And I think there's a great potential for Europe and China to come together to kind of fill the vacuum that might be left by the United States. If they did so, they could form a very powerful bloc to lead global efforts against climate change. And they could also help to ensure that there's less potential for other nations to walk away. There's a real concern now that if the US leaves, then perhaps other countries will walk away from the agreement. But should the EU and should China get together, it would provide less potential for other nations, including Australia, to follow the US down a do-nothing pathway.
How strong do you think the potential for Europe and China to step up is?
Look, I think it's difficult to know at this stage, and the world is still reacting to the recent elections in the US. I think many governments, including in Europe and China, are grappling with what the new kind of world order looks like, but there is certainly potential. Europe has been historically a leader on climate change, particularly, the world has gone down this path once before in the early 2000s when George W. Bush won an election against Al Gore, and the US walked away from the Kyoto Protocol, and Europe really stepped into the void back then. And my hope is that perhaps it could do so now. The difference 10 years later, this time around, is that the EU could potentially have a very powerful partner in China. China has been a very active proponent of climate change in recent years, and at the same time, it's the world's number one energy consumer and the number one carbon polluter. So if Europe and China got together, they really could form a powerful bloc to lead global efforts in the absence of US leadership.
Well, you've written, the world's politicians may be in a better position than in 2001 to deal with the fallout from another recalcitrant American administration, referring, of course, to the George W. Bush administration, but the world's climate is not. Bearing that in mind, how much time does Europe and China, or will they have, to hypothetically get on top of what's happening with climate change?
Yeah, it's a good point, and sadly we're very quickly running out of time. The Paris Agreement aimed to keep global... So the Paris Agreement was the big agreement that the world agreed to last year in Paris, and since it's been agreed, within a year, 111 countries have now ratified it. That is, they've signed onto it and committed to doing something about climate change. Australia included in that. And that agreement set out to limit global temperatures to rise by no more than 2 degrees, and ideally by no less than 1.5 degrees. But as scientists around the world keep telling us, we're very quickly moving towards those targets. greenhouse gas emissions continue to spiral out of control, and with it, so do global temperatures, where every year now seems to be the record hottest year. And we don't have to look very far from our own backyard to see the devastating effects, such as the bleaching in the Great Barrier Reef this year. So we have very little time, and I think it's incumbent on the countries now, like Europe and China, to move as quickly as they can to start to reduce the emissions.
Mm. Well, I mean, I know Australia sort of lollygagged quite a bit on our climate change policies. What kind of role do you think Australia could have, could play in positive climate change policy for the future? And is it our time to show a bit more leadership as well?
Look, definitely. Australia is, it's not a US or a China, but it's still a very powerful nation. It's a member of the G20. It's one of the, you know, largest countries in the world, the largest 20 or 30 countries in the world. And it has, for its history, you know, punched above its weight on in international affairs. So it could very much play a leadership role. But sadly, under the coalition governments of Tony Abbott and now more recently Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, Australia has been seen as a bit of a pariah on climate change. You look at our targets, we committed to a just under a 30% target to reduce our emissions by 2030, but that's well short of what the rest of the world is doing, and it's well short of even what the Independent Climate Change Authority in Australia here recommended. They recommended a target of almost twice that. Of course, this is also the government that repealed the price on carbon, which the early evidence showed was reducing emissions. So, look, Australia has great potential to be a climate leader. We have amazing renewable energy resources, but so far, at least at a federal level, there hasn't been the political will to do so.
Well, it's certainly dire times, Christian. Hopefully, you know, maybe Trump won't turn around and abandon all the climate change policies. And hopefully, if he does, at least Europe and China, like you suggested, can step up to the mark.
Yes, well, actually, I was looking on Twitter this morning and he said, or maybe he won't, but he seems to have, President-elect Trump seems to have a different position on every policy every day, so it certainly keeps it interesting. But should China and Europe get together, they would, they do have a lot of potential to push the US to do more on climate change. And we saw last week that the former French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, was even recommending putting a carbon tax on imports from the US. Now, I mean, that's still hypothetical, but these types of actions and even this type of rhetoric would be enough, would be a very powerful stick to wave at the US and say, come on, get your act together. You need to stick to the Paris Agreement and you need to follow in Obama's footsteps and lead the way on climate change. So hope's not lost just yet.
Mm. Well, Christian, thanks very much for joining me to have a chat about all that this morning.
Pleasure, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.